Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shavuos daf Mem Vav. We are holding on daf Mem Hey. I'm going to base about 5 lines into the wide lines at Michlal, right in the middle of a discussion. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha Shalom, Neshama Shavon Aliyah. And we thank him for the continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi Shir. So we were in the middle of discussing yesterday about the Shavua of a Sachir who's Nishma Venotel, a person who was hired to do a job, and he claimed that he hasn't been paid his wages, so there's a din, Shvua Midrabanan, that he could be Nishma Venotel, that he could take a Shvua and be Notel. So we were in the middle of a discussion, or Machlokas, whether that is only if we know that he was hired, but if we don't have any evidence that he was hired, so maybe Migo, that the person who hired him could say, Lahadam, he was never my employee, so he's believed to say that he already paid him. So the Gemara is going to have the opinion of Rav Sheshes, whether a Sachir can be Nishma Venotel even without evidence that he was ever hired. As yesterday we learned the Shita of Shmuel, that no, he has to have evidence that he was hired, otherwise he cannot be Nishma Venotel. So today we're going to learn the Shita of Rav Sheshes. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when they're arguing about the amount of the wages agreed upon. They both agree that he was hired, they agree he did the work. They're arguing about what was the salary, the agreed upon salary, so who swears in such a case, and that's going to be the majority of Amud Aleph. And then toward the end of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss how much do the Edom have to see in the case of a Nigzal who's Nishma Venotel, because that's one of the cases of a Shvua Drabanan of a Nishma Venotel that we had in the Mishnah, where something was stolen from me so I could be Nishma, that which was stolen from me and be Notel. But what exactly did the Edom see? Do we know for a fact that anything was taken from my house? If we do, then how do we not know what it was that was taken from my house? Why is there even a need for a Shavua? Then the Gemara is going to discuss a limitation to the chazakah that what is in your possession is yours. Normally you have a chazakah, whatever is nimtza tachas yado probably belongs to you. So there's an exception to that chazakah, but we're going to have five exceptions to that limitation. And then the Gemara is going to talk about who can swear the Shavuos and Nigzal, and meaning is that only the guy, the owner of the house himself, where the item was stolen from? What about his security guard? Can he swear? What about his wife? What about other people that live in that house? Can they swear the Shavuos HaNigzal? And can you swear Shavuos HaNigzal in anything? Meaning someone walked out of my house with a bag. Can I say, yeah, that was my bag of billions of dollars worth of diamonds that I keep under my pillow? Meaning you could just say anything? You just say, well, once there was a fire, make an insurance claim on whatever it is that's in your house? Or is that something that there's some limit on what you can claim the guy took out of your house? Then the Gemara is going to talk about the case of a Nechbal, right? We said that a Nechbal could be Nishma Venotel. Someone is beaten up. He could take a Shvua that this guy beat him up and that he owes him money. So what is the case that a Nechbal even needs to swear in order to get paid, as opposed to just getting paid without having to swear, because we know that the other guy is the one who beat him up? And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about how to understand the Chiddush that the Mishnah said that afilu if a person took a Shvua Shav in the past, we're not going to believe him about a Shvua any longer. And therefore, whenever he's chayv a shvua, we're going to flip the shvua on the other guy. What's the afilu about shvua shav any more so than shvua seedus and shvua sepikadon and any other type of shvua that he took that was a lie in the past, where we know that we can no longer believe him about a shvua? So let's begin again. We're 5 lines into the wide lines. We are at miklal. This is just wrapping up the conversation that we had between Rava and Rami Bar Chama yesterday, where Rabbi Bar Chama had complimented the teaching of Rav that the whole discussion of a Sachir being Nishma Venotel is only if we knew that this guy was hired. But if we didn't know that there were no Edim that this guy was ever hired, so the Balabais could say, Lahadam, I never hired you. Amigo, that he could say that. He's believed that he had already paid him. So Rav had said, well, if that were the case, then by Yeshua's HaShomrin, how do you ever have a case where the Shomer Sachar is going to be Chayev Shvua that it was Nenas? After all, he could just say, I was never a Shomer. And Migo, that he's believed that he was never a Shomer, so he should be believed that he's Nenas without a Shvua. So the Rami Bar Chama answered, no, it must be that he gave it to him with Edim. So we know that he was a shomer. So, so Rava responded right back. Well, Migo, he could say, I already returned it. He should be believed to say that he was not enough. So Rabbi Bercham said, you're right. Edom is not enough. It must be that he gave it to him with a shtar, and he's still holding on to the shtar. So that's how I know that he was a shomer sachar, and therefore, if the shomer sachar wants the taina that the item was lost with an ones, he's going to have to take a shvua. But absent clear evidence that he was actually a shomer sachar, then eino chinami, a shomer sachar will not have to take a shvua. So says Gemara, whoa, from that back and forth in the Gemara, Michlal, you see from Rabbi Bercham and Rava's discussion, they both seem to hold that if someone gives someone a pikadon in front of Edim, the pikadon need not be returned with Edim, because they both seem to agree that if it was given in front of Edim, the shomer sachar could say, yeah, I was a shomer, but hichzartivlach, I already gave it back to you. And Migo, that he could say he gave it back, he's not going to have to take a shvua, and everyone agreed to that. What do you mean I gave it back to you? Where are the Edim that you gave it back? Elamai, you don't need Edim that you gave it back just because you got it with Edim. But Bishtar, Tzorch Lachsul of Edim. But if you got it with a Shtar, then you're going to need Edim that you gave it back. And that's why Rami Bar Chama was able to answer Da'afkad Le Bishtara, that he gave it to him with a Shtar. Oh, you gave it to him with a Shtar, then you cannot taina Lahadam, you cannot taina it never happened, you cannot taina that you gave it back. And that's when the Shomer Sachar is going to have to swear that there was an oness. So now says Gemara, Kari Rami Bar Chama Aleid Rav Sheshes. Rami Bar Chama said about Rav Sheshes the following pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Vayasim David Asadvar Ma'ele Belibo. What Rami Bar Chama is trying to say is that Rav Sheshes was someone who paid really careful attention to something, and he knew how to be medayek from a brisa whether the chiddush that we learned yesterday of Rav and Shmuel is correct. Again, the chiddush that we learned from Rav and Shmuel is that a sachir can only be nishma v'notel if we know for sure that he was ever hired to do the job. But if we don't have any evidence, we don't have any edim that he was ever hired to do the job, then the migo that the balabais could say, I never hired this guy, the balabais is neman to say that he already paid him, and the sachar cannot be nishma v'notel. So if Sheshes is going to try to see from a brisa whether Rav and Shmuel are correct or not, and Rami Bar Chama was so impressed with Rav Sheshes' ability to draw that information out of a brisa that he said about in the pasuk by Yosem David Asadvar Me'ele Belibo, about how David also was able to assess the situation. David HaMelech was able to assess a situation and realize what his path forward and what the proper behavior is. What's the context of the pasuk about David? Really has nothing to do with us, but the context happens to be when David was running away from Shaul, he got to Gat, which was a city of Plishtim, to the king Achish, and the Avadim of the Melech realized that this is David that's there, and they wanted to kill him because he wanted to take the Malchus away from Achish, because at the time of the Melchama with Goliath, they made it tonight that anyone who defeats Goliath will be appointed as Melech. David obviously was one that defeated Goliath, and it says that that David realized that he's a wanted man by Melech Achish. So he immediately assessed what was going on over here, and that he was going to be dead in a few minutes if they think that he's David. So even though he looks like David, because he is David, he has this ruddy complexion, whatever it is that they made. So he started acting like a lunatic. He started acting like a deranged person. And they said, well, David is a world leader who's, used to be world leader, is going to be deranged. So David is a world leader, and he's such an important person. This can't really be David. It must be a case of mistaken identity. So because he was thinking quick on his feet, and he knew how to get out of the situation, so that's how that's what the pasuk says. V'yasam David asadvar me'ele belibo, that he was able to get out of the situation in such a case. So says the Gemara, da'ashkir. So similarly, Rav Sheshes knew how to assess a brisa and figure out what's going on. Da'ashkir Rav Sheshes Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Sheshes saw Rabbi Shmuel Amalei Tani Marmidi B'Sachir. He said, "Nu, do you have any good chiddush to tell me in the sugya of a sachir being nishma v'notel, that a hired worker can swear about not having gotten paid?" And he could get paid his wages. Amalei. So Rabbi said back, yeah, in Tanina, I have a really good brisa to tell you over. Sachir Bismano, a sachir who's claiming his wages on the day that they're supposed to be paid, when he finishes his job, nishba v'notel, that's where the chacham made a takana that he could take a shvua and get paid. Ketzad, what is the circumstance during under which that he's neman to be nishma v'notel? Bizman Sharmalov, the sacher says to the balabais, Sichartani v'lo nesata lischari, you hired me and you didn't pay me. V'alo omer, and the balabais says, Sichartiha, I hired you, v'nesati l'chascharcha, and I absolutely did pay you. That's the case that the sacher could be nishma v'notel. He could take a shvua and he can get paid. Aval, but in the case where the argument between the sacher and the balabayas is amarlo shtaim katzatzli v'alo amarlo katzasti l'cha ela achas. They're arguing about what the salary was that the sacher says, look, you hired me, I did the job, you had agreed to pay me two sela, and the balabayas says, I hired you, you did the job, and I had agreed to pay you one sela. Hamotzi mechaver lav haraya. Then hamotzi mechaver lav haraya. He cannot just be nishba v'notel. So when Rav Sheshes heard this brisa, he says, ooh, now I see that Rav and Shmuel are incorrect. That when Rav and Shmuel had said that a sacher is only nishma v'notel if we know with Edim that he was in fact hired, that's not actually true. Because hamidaseifa b'raya havi reisha b'lo raya. From the fact that it says in the seifa that the sacher does not get to take that extra sela unless he brings a raya, hamotzi mechaveru alav haraya, we had said. So it sounds like the reisha, that if the balabaya says, I already paid you, the halacha is that the sacher is nishma v'notel even without a raya. All he needs to do is take a shavua, and then we believe his taina. He doesn't even need to bring Aiden that he was even ever hired to do the job. So you see that there's no raya whatsoever. Not even Aiden that he was hired to do the job. That's against Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel say the sacher can only be nishma v'notel if he's able to bring Aiden that he was hired to do the job. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, nah, that's not a good deal from the Raisa. Reisha v'seifa b'raya. Really, both the case of the Reisha and the case of the Seifa is that the sacher does have to bring a raya. It's just in the reisha, he has to bring a raya that the balabayas had hired him, and then he has the right to be nishba v'notel. And in the seifa, he has to bring a raya to what the agreed upon wages were. He's going to need to bring a raya that the agreed upon wages were actually two sela and not one sela. So why didn't it say in the reisha that he has to bring a raya at least that he was hired? Because raya de l'shalim katani, a raya that will get you paid, is worth mentioning in the Brisa. Meaning in the case where they're arguing about what the agreed upon wages were, if I could bring a raya that the agreed upon wages were two sela, that's all I need to do, and then I get paid. But when the machlokas was, did you pay me yet? Did you not pay me yet? So I bring a raya that I was hired, but then I'm still going to need to take a shvua. The raya alone is not enough. So raya de shvua lo katani, a raya that only permits me to now take a shvua and get paid, that doesn't get mentioned. That doesn't warrant a special mention in the brisa. So even in the din of the seifa, where they're arguing about the amount of money, we're talking about a case where there were Edim about that he was actually hired to do the job, because it's mistabra that the whole brisa is talking about the same thing. So Tosa says, then you'll ask, why don't you ask the Edim how much the agreed upon wages were? Meaning if the whole case is talking about where there were Edim that he was hired, so just ask the Edim what the wages were. Why do I say that just ask the Edim? So Tosa says, no, it could be the Edim saw that he was hired, but they weren't paying attention to what the salary was when he was hired. Okay, so says the Gemara now. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, Sholchule mi bei Rav. They sent the following from the Beis Medrash of Rav to Shmuel. Yilam denu Rabbeinu. They sent the following Shaila from Rav's Beis Medrash to Shmuel. The Sacher and Balabais are disagreeing about how much the agreed upon wages were. So Uman Amar Shtayim Katzatzili. The worker says, you promised to give me two Sela. V'alo Amar lo Katzatzili l'chalachas. No, the agreed upon wages were one seller. Mi nishba. Who gets to take a shvua? Does the balabayas take a shvua and therefore become pater from paying, like all other nishbaim in the Torah? Is nishba v'niftar that you take a shvua in order to not pay? Or maybe even in this, the chacham made a takana that the sacher takes a shvua and he gets to then get paid. So Amar Lahen, Shmuel said, "Bezo yishava balabayas v'yafsiruman." No, the balabayas is in control of his destiny over here. He could take the shvua that it was only one sela and the Uman loses out, he will not be able to collect the two seller. Why? Because Ktsitsa Vade Mitkir Dikiri Inchi. When it comes to salaries, when it comes to how much agreed upon wages are, we assume that a person is going to remember such things. So Frekta Gemara Eini, is that really true that the Balabayas has to take a Shavuot in the first place? Vatari Rabba Bar Shmuel, Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya. But didn't Rabba Bar Shmuel teach us in the Brisa that Hamotzi Mechaver Lavaraya? Meaning, you're assuming somebody needs to take a Shavuot when they're arguing about wages. We just got through saying that when what they're arguing about is wages, we just believe the Balabayas. There's no Nishpa V'notel, of course, but there's not even a Shavuot that's required by the Balabayas. Vilo Maisi Raya, and it sounds like if the Sachir doesn't bring a Raya, so Paka, so that's it, he loses. Am I Yishav Balabayas V'Avsirumen? So why does the Brisa say that, say that he loses? According to what you're saying, Yishav Balabayas, that the Balabayas actually has to take a Shavuot V'Avsirumen in order for the Uman to lose out. But without a Shavuot, then the Uman does not lose out. So which is it? Does the Balabayas have to take a Shavuot that the agreed upon wages were $1 and not $2? Or does the Balabayas just automatically win when they're arguing about wages? Sans Gemara, Amram Nachman, Litzstadin Katani. The Brisa doesn't go through every case. It only mentions one of two cases, meaning Omevi Raya, either the Sachar brings a Raya that it was the wages were two Slaim, V'yital, and then it'll be able to get paid two Slaim. Oh, Yishav Balabayas V'Avsiruman. Or the Sachir doesn't bring a Raya, then the Balabayas gets to take a Shavuah and the Uman loses out. But without a Shavuah in a Chinami, the Balabayas will not be Pater. So what's the answer? The answer is yes, the Balabayas will have to take a Shavuah. He'll only be entitled to take that Shavuah if the Sachir is not able to prove what his wages were. So if the Sachir somehow has a Raya, he's able to prove with Eidim exactly that he was what his wages were, that they were two slaim, so then the Balabayas cannot take a Shavuah against Edim, obviously, so that's that the Sachir would just get paid. If the Sachir is unable to bring a Raya, then the Balabayas just has to take a Shavuah, but he does have to do that. He at least has to take a Shavuah that the wages were only one seller. So the Gemara challenges Shmuel from a different price, a Meisvei. And no Saint Talisa Luuman, if a person gives his talis to a tailor to fix for him, and Uman Omer Kasasili Shtayim, the tailor says, we had agreed upon two slaim for my for payment. Vala Omer, and the guy who owns the talis says, Lo Kasasil Khalachas, no, I agreed upon one sela as payment. So Kalzman Shatalis be on Uman, as long as the Uman is still holding on to the talis, he hasn't yet returned it to the Balabayas, Al Balabayas Laviraya. The owner of the talis is gonna have to bring a Raya that he had only agreed to pay him one seller, and without that Raya, he's not getting his talis back. Unless he pays two slaim. Nisanelo bismano, if the Uman gave back the talis, so if he's Toveya on the day that the work was done on the Zman, so Nishba, the Sachir takes a Shavuah that the two slaim were the agreed upon wages, Vinotel, and then he'll get two slaim. But Avar Zmano, but if it's after the fact, it's already a later date, Hamotzi Mechavero, Alav Haraya, and therefore for the Sachir who wants to get two slaim from the Balabayas is going to have to bring a Raya that the agreed upon wages were two slaim. So you see that if the Uman already gave the talis back to the Balabayas, and he was Tovea la'achar zman, the Uman is not Neman unless he brings a Raya. But Bismano Miha, but Nishba v'notel. But if he's Tovea him in the Zman, then the Sachir could be Nishba and he can take the two slaim. Now, according to Shmuel, Amai, why does the Brisa say that? According to Shmuel, if they're arguing about what the wages were, Yishava Balabayas V'Yafsid Uman. According to Shmuel, the Balabayas has the right to take a Shavuah that it was only one Sela, and the Uman should lose out. Meaning it's the same exact thing as the Sachir, that if the disagreement is about wages, Shmuel said that that absent a Raya, the person who is supposed to be paying can take a Shavuah that the agreed upon wages were a lesser amount, and that's all he's he's going to have to pay. So answer Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Hamani Rabbi Yehudi, Damar Kol Zman Sheshvua Nota Eitzel Balabayis, Sachar Nishpa V'Notel, that the author of this Brisa is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that whenever Mida Oraisa, there's a Chi of Shvua on the Balabayis, the Chamor Mesakein, that he doesn't take the Shvua and become Pater, rather the Sachar is Nishpa V'Notel. So in the case that the Brisa spoke about as well, since the Balabayis is really Chayiv Shvua Smota B'Mitzas, because the Sachir says, you owe me 2 sela, and he's saying, no, I only owe you 1 sela, that's the wage that I agreed upon, so that's a Moda B'Mitzas, so the Chacham, that, it's a Midoraisa, you should be Chayiv Shvua, that's where the Chacham made a Takana, don't take your Shvua Doraisa, rather the other party will take a Shvua in order to be Notel. But the Chachamim disagree, and the Chachamim hold that a Balabayis is Nishpa V'Niftar, that he gets to take a Shvua in that case and becomes Pater. So says Mora, well, hey Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda say such a thing? That whenever there's a Shvua of Moda B'Mitzas, we just flip the Shvua onto the other guy. Elam Rabbi Yehuda Masnisin. So you want to tell me, what do you mean? It's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. So no, Achmuri Kamachmir, the Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is Machmir on the Sachir, that we force him to take, that we take the Shvua away from him, meaning we take the control away from him, and we give the Balabayas the control to be able to take the Shvua. Ditznan, what was the case in the Mishnah? It was a Sachir that Tavei the Balabayas says, you owe me my wages. So the Chum said that the Balabayas, even if he's Kofer Hakol, that he says, I already paid you everything, the Sachir is Nishpa V'Notel. The Sachir could say, could swear, no, you didn't, and he can still collect. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the Sachir is only Nishpa V'Notel, Ate Shetesha Mitzas Hoda'a, only if it's already a Moda B'Mitzas case, that the Balabayas says, I already paid you, not all, some of it. So then the Balabayas is Chayav Shvua D'Oraisa, and then we say, okay, instead of the Balabayas taking that Shvua D'Oraisa, the Sachir is Nishpa V'Notel. But if the Balabayas is Kofar HaKol, so then they were not Misakein that the Sachir could be Nishpa V'Notel, the Balabayas would be Nishpa V'Niftar in such a case. So if that's the Rabbi Yehuda you're talking about, and therefore even in a case where the argument is not about whether he had or hadn't paid, but the argument is about what the wages were, and the Balabayas is Moda B'Mitzas, and he would agree that the Shvua then moves over to the Sachir, you don't have a Hechrech that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that way, because Adrabba, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is being Machmir on the Sachir more than the Chachamim are, because in the case of Kofar HaKol, he holds that you don't give the right to the Sachir to just take a Shvua and get paid. So it's not Mistaver that when they're arguing about the amount of the wages, that the Tanayim are going to flip their Shita, that all of a sudden Rabbi Yehuda is going to give the Sachir more rights to be Nishpa V'Notel, in the case where the Balabayas is Moda Mitzas, and the Chachamim are going to be Machmir and say that the Balabayas will always be Nishpa V'Niftar. Ella, so it must not be Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah. It's Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa. It's Rabbi Yehuda the Braisa where it says, Beferish the Rabbi Yehuda holds that when they disagree about the amount of the wages, when the Balabayas would be Chayiv Shvua D'Oraisa, instead the Sachir takes the Shvua and he's Notel. D'Tanya, because the Braisa says, Sachir kol zman shelo over alav zmano. As long as the time of the payment has not passed and the day that he concludes his work, Hareza Nishpa V'Notel. The Sachir can swear and get paid. V'im lav, but if it's already later on, Eino Nishpa V'Notel. He can no longer swear and get paid. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda comments, Emasai, when do we say such a takana? Bizman sha'amr lo tein lischari chamishim dinar sheyesh lebiadcha, where the Sachar says, you owe me 50 dinar, v'omers kabalta mehen dinar zahav. And the employer says, what do you mean, I already paid you half of that? O sha'amr lo, shtayim katzatzta, or the Sachar says to the Balabayas, you agreed to wages of 2 sla'im, v'alo omer, and the Balabayas says, lo katzatzti ela achas, I only agreed to wages of 1 sela. So that's a case where the Balabayas is moda b'mikzas, so he's chai of a Shvua D'Oraisa in order to get out of having to pay. So that's where the Chacham were Misakein, that instead of him taking his Shvua Smota B'Mitzas, the Sachir will swear in order to get paid. He'll be Nishpa V'Notel. Aval, Omar lo, but los chartich me'olam. But if the Balabayas just denies all things, he says, I never hired you. Oshom los chartich me'nesati l'chascharcha. Or he says, yeah, I hired you, but I already paid you fully. Hamotzi mechavera, lafaraya. Then if the Sachir wants to get paid, he's going to have to bring a raya, and and without a raya, he's going to lose out. So in such a case, the chachamim were never misakein that the sachir gets the right to just take a shua and get paid, because there is no chiv shua darais on the balabayas that you could flip onto the sachir. So now I understand that Rabbi Yehuda, who taught this brisa, is the one that taught the brisa previously that a sachir is nishma v'notel when they're disagreeing about the amount of the wages. And Shmuel said that said in such a case, of alabayis is nishba v'niftar, holds like the shita of the chachamim. So maskel Rav Shish b'Rei Ravidi, Ella, you want to say katzat Rabbi Yehudahi? You want to tell me that the brisa that talks about where they're disagreeing about what the wages were and the sachar is nishba v'notal is Rabbi Yehudahi v'lo rabbanon, and it's not going like the shita of the rabbanon who hold that the balabayis is nishba v'niftar in such a case like Shmuel? That's not mistaver, because hashtehechi de machmir Rabbi Yehuda mikili rabbanon, hecha de mekel Rabbi Yehuda machmiri rabbanon. In a case where Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, meaning in the case where the sachir says you owe me my wages, and the balabayis says I already paid you everything, so Rabbi Yehuda's machmir that the sachir is not able to be nishba v'notel in that case, and the rabbanon were mekel that the sachir can be nishba v'notel in that case. So you mean to tell me in a case where Rabbi Yehuda's mekel and allows the sachir to be nishba v'notel, meaning in the case where they agree, where they disagree about how much the wages are, so Rabbi Yehuda's mekel and he allows the sachir to be nishba, that's where machmir rabbanon, the rabbanon are going to be machmir in such a case? Why would they flip their shitos about whether they're being machmir on the sachir or not? So ve'elamai, so who do you want to say the brice is going like? Rabbanon? You want to say the brice is going like the rabbanon? Because if we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, then it doesn't make sense that he's going to be machmir and mekel on the sachir at the same time. Ve'elahadutani rabba bar Shmuel katzat samotzi mechaver alav haraya money lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo rabbanon. Yeah, but then the brice about katzat samotzi mechaver alav haraya, that when they disagree about the ktsitsa, about how much the wages were, that the sachir is going to need to bring a raya and the shavu is not going to help him, that goes like neither party. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's not like the Rabbanon, because both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon would say that the sachir has a right to be nishba v'notel. So it must be that the brisa that talks about katzatz and the sachir being nishba v'notel is going like Rabbi Yehuda. And the chachamim would disagree. And the chachamim would say, amotzi mechaver alav haraya, that the sachir cannot be nishba v'notel. We asked, how does it make sense that they're going to flip their shitos? Rabbi Yehuda's more machmir on the sachir, more mekel on the sachir. So it says, it's not about chumra and kula. What they're arguing about is the following: Rabbi Yehuda savor bida oraisa, that in the case where the balabais is chayiv shvua d'oraisa, in order to get out of having to pay the sachir, meaning a case of moda b'miktsas. I don't care what they're arguing about, whether the argument is, did I pay you, didn't I pay you, how much did I pay, or whether the argument is, how much was I supposed to pay you, what was the agreed upon wages. Either way, if it's moda b'miktsas, the Rabbanan then flipped that Shavua onto the Sachir, and he is Nishma v'notel. Ubid Rabbanan, but in a case where there is no Chiv Shavua d'Araisa on the Balabayas, he's Pater entirely, meaning a case of Kofar HaKol, Havai Takanta, the whole Shavua of a Kofar HaKol is only Takanas Chachamim, v'Takanta l'Takanta lo Avdinan. So they're not going to take a case where the Balabayas only Chayv Shavua d'Rabbanan, and then flip that onto the other guy. You don't make a Takana onto the Takana. So that is what Rabbi Yehuda holds, regardless of what they're disagreeing about, whether they're disagreeing about the agreed upon wages or disagreeing about whether it's been paid. And the Rabbanan hold, even in the case where the Shavua is only Yechiv to Rabbanan, they did flip that Shavua onto the Sachir. So even when the Balabayas tainas that he already paid everything, where Meikar Adin, he does not have to take a Shavua, the Chacham or Mesakein that a Kofar HaKol takes a Shavua, so they made a Takana that the socher is nishma v'notel, but the chum hold, but uktitza mitkardakir. But if what they're arguing about is the amount of the wages, then the balabayas is not going to forget such a thing. So when that's what the argument is about, the shvua is on the balabayas, and we don't flip it onto the sachir. So that's the sheet of the rabbanon. That when do we flip the shvua onto the sachir? Even in the case of kofar hakol, where the initial shvua is only the rabbanon, but not in a case where they're arguing about the amount of wages. If they're arguing about the amount, the agreed upon salary, then you don't flip it onto the sakhir because we assume the balabayas is midkar dakir. Okay, so now it gets a little easier. Nigzal ketzad. The case of a nigzal being nishma v'notel, that I say you stole from me so I could just swear and I could get paid. So we said, what was the case? We saw the guy come into my house without my permission, without Bezin's permission, and he took a mashkon from me. So says Gemara, Dilma lo mishkano. How do I know that he came into the guy's house to take a mashkon? Even if Adam saw that he walked into my house, how do I know he walked out with anything? Milo amar Rav Nachman, hayman denaka narga biyade. What, because he said he's going to? So didn't Rav Nachman teach us that if a guy has an axe in his hand, amar ezel akfil the dikla deplanya, and he says, I'm so mad at this guy, I'm going to go chop down all of his trees. And then ishtakach to katal v'shadi, and then the next day we see his trees were chopped down. Lo amrinu du katle. That's not enough evidence that he's the one that chopped down the trees, because he was holding an axe yesterday and he said he was going to do it. I'm evidence to gazim v'lo avid. People exaggerate all the time. People say they're going to do things and they threaten to do things, but they don't actually do. So how can I be to gazim v'lo avid? Because a guy says, this guy owes me money, I'm going to go into his house, I'm going to take a mashkon, I don't care if Bezin doesn't let me, I don't care if he doesn't let me, I'm doing it anyway. And so what? He said it. It doesn't mean he did it. So you can't be believed. You can't be nishma v'notel in such a case. So ema umashkino. No, it must be the case is that we have edus that he took a mashkon from the guy's house. We saw he took something. So if you saw he took something, v'lechzi my mashkino. Why would you need the nigzal to take a shvua? Just ask the edim who saw that he took something, what did he take? And then we'll know exactly what he took. So Amrab Baruchana, Amrab Yochanan, Bitoino Kalim, and Nitalin Tachas Knafav. No, he walked out with Kalim hidden under his coat. So we have no idea what he took, but we know he took something. So that's the case where the nigzal is going to have to swear as to what he took. Now, once we're talking about Tachas Kanfe Begadav, that he's hiding something under his coat, the Gemara brings another din that also relates to that concept. We have a chazaka that kol ma shetachas yado shel adam is shelo, that anything that a person has in his possession, we assume is his. So any metaltalin that you have, that's if you're holding on to it, we assume it's yours. So I'm reviewed. The review that says the following: Ra'uhu, if Edom saw a guy going to someone else's house, shehitmin kelim tachas knafav, and they saw him viyata, they saw him hide some kelim under his clothing, and he walked out. V'amr lekuchenein biyadi, and he says, oh, I bought these from the balabais, and the balabais says, I didn't sell them to you. I loaned them to you, and you're supposed to give them back. Eino naman. The person who took it is not naman. He has to give it back to the balabais. I chazaka kol mashatachas yado shaladam is shalo. When Edom saw that you took it from the guy's house and you were hiding it, then you're not going to be to be naman in such a case. So that's an exception to the chazaka. So now the Gemara says, but there are five exceptions to the exception. V'lo amaran. This whole idea that the guy who took it is not Neman, is Ela Balabayis Sheinu Asilim Kerkelev. That's only when you're talking about a Balabayis who doesn't have a store that, you know, where he sells things from his house. Av Balabayis Asilim Kerkelev Karas Kelev Neman. But if he's a guy who sells stuff all the time, every Sunday is a garage sale, and you know, you see someone walk out of his house with something, so then the guy is believed to say that he had purchased it. And even if he doesn't typically sell things, the guy who walked out with it is only not believed to say he bought it when it's something that people would normally not hide underneath their clothing. But things that people would normally hide underneath their clothing when they go out into Rosh Hasharabim, Neman, he is believed to say that he purchased it, because his hiding of the item is not a raya that he didn't purchase it. Meaning it makes sense that he would hide such an item. It's the type of item that people don't walk around with publicly, that it's the kind of thing that it would be embarrassing to walk around with publicly. V'shein darkav ha'atmin nami lo amaran, and even if he took something that people typically do not hide, it's something that there's no embarrassment to take. You know, it's he bought a soda. You know, you could walk around with the soda. It's not that he bought a pair of underwear where he's going to hide it somewhere. So ela inish de lo tzniya, but aval inish de tzniya hainu orche. That's only talking about a case case where a person b'teva is not such a tsanua person where he hides everything, but a person who's tsanua about everything, that he doesn't want anyone knowing his business, he doesn't want anyone knowing what he bought, you know, from anywhere, and that's just his derech, that he doesn't go carrying anything in Rosh Hashanah, so then the fact that he hid it is not a raya that he didn't buy it. Everything he buys, he hides. He's a tsanua person. So says Mar, and a fourth exception, the whole discussion is that the guy who took it said, the guy who was taken from said it was borrowed, and the guy who took it said that it was purchased. So there's a raya to the titan of the balabayas, because he's not normally someone who sells items, and from the fact that the other guy was hiding it, so he loses his chazaka that whatever he's holding on to is his. Aval begnuvin lav kol kamine. But if the balabayas titan is, you stole it from me, so then he's not neman to say that. You're not going to just make a chazaka that a guy is a ganav because the balabayas says he's a ganav. It's one thing to say that he borrowed it from me and then changed his mind and decided not to give it back. Okay, he's not a ganav who just goes and takes things, but if I'm going to claim that he's a ganav, I don't have the right to claim that he's a ganav. V'lo amaran, and even if all of these conditions are met, we only say that the guy who took it is not believed. El dvar masuin lahashil la'askil. If it's the type of thing that people would lend out or rent to other people, so that's why I believe the balabayas that he loaned this out. Avol dvar masuin lahashil la'askil. But things that people typically do not lend or rent out, neman. Then the guy is believed to say that he had purchased it, and the balabayas is not neman to say that he had loaned it to the guy, because this is not the type of thing that anyone loans to anybody. So the Gemara brings a raya that it's only by things that are normal to loan. Tisholach Rav Huna bar Ravin. Rav Huna bar Ravin said, "Dvar masuin lahashil la'askil, amar lekuchen ein biyadi eino neman." That if you have something that is normal to lend to someone, and the guy claims, "I bought it and I did not borrow it," the machzik is not neman, and he has to give it back to the balabais. Ki had the Rava afik zugo de sarbala the sifra da gadda tamiyasmi. Like the Maisa Shaya, where Rava took a pair of scissors of someone who deals with fabrics, and a sefer of agada from Yisomim that they received these items as Yerusha from their fathers, and the Tover brings Edim that are made that they are his, and he says that he's the one, he lent them to the father of the Yisomim, and Rava gave them back to the Tover because of that. B'dvar masin lahashil la'askir, only if these are things that are normal to lend out, and therefore if the father were alive, he would not be able to say that he had purchased them. So therefore, the Yisomim can't say that the father had purchased them either, and the guy could take back his stuff because it's a suyin lahashil ulahaskil. It's a discussion if it's only sifrei agada that people typically lend out, because you don't use sifrei agada as much. Most of the time, when you're learning halacha. So that's what Rashi points out. So that people don't lend out so much sifrei halacha, because since it gets so much use, you're going to ruin it. And before the printing press, ruining a sefer was a big deal. But sifrei agada, which only come out every now and then, you know, they weren't so concerned. So now the Gemara discusses the case of Nigzal. Amar Rava, afilu shomer nishba, afilu ishto shel shomer nishba'as. Meaning, when we say that a Nigzal could be nishba v'notel, something was stolen from his house, he could take a shavua that it was stolen from his house and he can get it back, that it doesn't have to be the owner of the house. If his security guard saw it get stolen, so the security guard can take the shavua. And if his wife saw it get stolen, she could take the shavua. Vayirav papa schiru l'kito mai. What about just stam workers in his house that are not hired to be shomrim? Can they take the shavua? So take the Gemara doesn't resolve that. This shavua is a nigzal. How far does it go? What if he's claiming, oh yeah, you know what he stole from my house? A $10 million antique whatever, right? Meaning he can make some outlandish claim, some very expensive item that was stolen from his house. Can he say that? We're going to believe him about that as well? So chazina, ian ishto amidhu. Well, it depends what kind of house he has. Meaning if he has a house with like a museum in it where he's got all these, a collection of art that costs millions millions of dollars. So then, yeah, so then he's believed because that's it's reasonable. Or even if he's not such a rich guy, but he's a very known, trustworthy person that people trust him with expensive stuff, so then he can take a shvuah and he can get it back. But otherwise not. Otherwise he cannot take a shvuah. What's the case of a person who claims that he was beaten up and therefore he could take a shvuah that he was beaten up and get paid? So the Mishnah said the case was, we saw the guy walk into a room and he had no injuries, and then afterwards the other guy walked into the room and he walked out and the first fellow had injuries. So then he could take a shvuah, you beat me up and get paid. So it says, it must be a case where it's a part of his body that he got the injury, where it cannot be a self-inflicted wound. Where it could be a self-inflicted wound. If it could not be a self-inflicted wound, you don't need a shvuah, because how else do you think it happened? So maybe he threw himself against the wall and he slammed his back against the wall. So it was a self-inflicted wound. Maybe that's why he needs a shvuah. So Tanya Rabbi Chiya shalsa lo neshicha begabo ubein atzili yadav. No, there's a bite in between his shoulder blades, right? That he can't do on his own. So dilma acher avadlei. So, but still, maybe someone else did it. So dilaka acher. There is no somebody else, and that's when he would not have to take a shvuah. But if it could have been a self-inflicted wound, then ein chinam, he's going to have to take a shvuah. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots. Have a great day, everyone.